always good. It was spoiling me and my family, and we do appreciate it. We appreciate the lunch that we had, the fellowship we had with Eric and Cindy and Jason and Jessica. Okay. I'm fighting with myself here with the spirit and the flesh, and so I need to just shut up and not say what I'm thinking about saying. But anyhow, let me say this. I appreciate the cake. I really, really do. I'm sure there's good in that, you know, without even tasting it. Please don't let me forget it. However, I had some peach cobbler the last time I was here. Who made that cobbler? Are you here? It was you. Do you have any more? I told my wife, I'm sorry? I don't know. He might not let me back for another year. But I'm surprised to be here twice in 1 month. And I certainly don't want to have to get sick again. But anyhow, I told Yvonne, I said, babe, you missed the cobbler. And she said, I did. She said, I said, yeah. I said, she offered it to me. And you didn't take it? I said, no. I said, she carried it right out to her car. Tony. So anyhow, she's always accusing me of begging, right? Too, I ain't too proud to beg. You made me say that. So wipe that from the, you know, all right, we're going somewhere else tonight. Let me shut up. I'll pray. This is a prayer that I pray for you folks all the time. And I was reminded the other day, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying the same thing over again if it's an importunate prayer, if you're praying with your heart. And this is a prayer that Paul prays for the whole church. And I'd like to pray for you tonight. Once again, because I'm sure I prayed this before, but Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that God would strengthen us with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell or abide in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in his love, would be able to we'd be able to know what is the length and what the length and depth and height of his love. We might know by experience the love of Christ with passage knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God, so that God would do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think in us and through us to the glory of God. And that's my prayer. And that's certainly the fruit of the abiding relationship with him. Amen. So, Father, that's my prayer. I know that you can. You will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, pray, or say. We're asking you to do that tonight. This congregation, Lord, and we'll just thank you and praise you by faith in advance. In Jesus' name. Here's a song that is a really appropriate song for tonight. It's a song that we used to have as a theme for our ministry. A charity years ago. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if you are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in that sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. I call that a missionary song. And God really wants us all to be missionaries. Amen. And, you know, but anyhow, by way of introduction, I spoke with Dan. Dan, I don't know your last name, brother. I apologize. Yeah. Wutsky? But anyhow, and he reminded me that the essence of what I preached on this morning was the crucified life. The message that this church, because of your pastor, is all too well familiar with. Amen? The Apostle Paul, way of defining the abiding life in Christ is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, physically, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the exchange life. And that's what we're really talking about this morning, living that exchange life. Amen. And so thanks for that, Dan. And, you know, being with RU, I know you get an earful of that, and you certainly understand the importance of that. Tonight is part two of this morning's message. This morning we talked about the number one reason I believe that we should abide in Christ is so that we can experience that ultimate intimate relationship with him. The ultimate intimate relationship with him, that abiding relationship. Another reason, and certainly this is not, I don't know if I can categorize this as being, you know, not as important or, well, anyhow. Another reason is this, is because God wants to experience what it's like for him to be a missionary. And the only way that he can do that is through us. Think about that. With that in mind, the title of tonight's message is the method for missionaries. And by the way, I gave you notes, and I'll be preaching for the notes. And I was going to warn you that if I see you getting ahead of me, I was going to take the notes away from you. And you're already starting to get ahead of me on that. Just stay with me on the notes, okay? And if you have to keep it honest, just put them down and you'll pick them up later. But I guarantee you it'll be a good study for you. It really would. Now, besides, I told your pastor I'd send him notes home with his wife, and make sure you give him a copy, okay? But anyhow, the method for mission, I believe this is the greatest method for missionaries, the greatest method for missionaries. Our text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you turn there with me, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Galatians, Ephesians. When you get this, say amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's already at work, that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without world without end. Amen. God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we can think, ask, or pray, in us and through us, that we might put him on display, whereby he might be glorified as we allow him to live his life through us. Once again, that is the crucified life. And in reference to this whole concept of completing or fulfilling the Great Commission, God never called us, nor commissioned us, nor expects us to do that on our own. That's why he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In other words, he said, listen, I'm not expecting you to do this on your own. I want to complete my great commission through you. I preached this message at a missions conference, and I wanted to preach it here last year. I didn't get a chance to do that. So but chances now, God's timing is better than mine. Amen. And in reference to, and I think the timing is good because this will help you in your upcoming VBS ministry. And I would hope that if necessary, they might take a different perspective on this whole concept in reference to, you know, this is what I got to do. This is what I need to do. And I don't really want to do this. And I've got anxiety about doing it as it relates to, you know, evangelism and that sort of thing. Just relax. Allow God to do his work through you. Well, I can't do this. I don't want to do that. I got anxiety about this. I'm not good at dealing with people. God says, relax. I got this. Not only for VBS, but in our lives, even as we, you know, our commission to, you know, in our jobs, in our homes, wherever it might be, to be a missionary, wherever we are. God says, listen, relax. I got this. I want to complete my mission through you. Let me give you some food for thought here as I thought about introducing this message. Every Christian is born again to be a missionary. Amen? Amen? All right. In other words, we have been called or saved, commissioned, and empowered by the Lord to teach and to preach in our Jerusalem, in our communities, in our Judea, throughout our cities, our countries, in our counties, in our Samaria, countrywide. We can look at Samaria as being countrywide, and out to the uttermost parts of the earth, throughout all the continents, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. God wants us to be missionaries. You know, oftentimes when we think of missionaries, we think of those who are out on the foreign field. God says, listen, I want you to be a missionary starting at home. If I call you to go out, I'll give you this resource and I'll give you the call to go and let you know exactly where I want you. But until I tell you to go anywhere else, where I want you at is where you are. All called to be missionaries. Once again, he doesn't expect us to fulfill his great commission alone. Didn't he say, without me, you can do nothing? Especially this work of evangelism, this work of being a missionary. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How much more than being the missionary that God has called us to be? Tonight, I'd like to share some thoughts with you from, and you have your notes right in front of you. Years ago, there was a, and some of you don't know of him because you're too young. Some of us older folks like Vic, you've been around for a while. There was this, this great preacher, his name was Henry Blackaby. And Henry Blackaby came up with this paradigm, this method, this pattern of how to experience God working and living in it and through your life. And what I did is looking at this paradigm, I adapted it you know, to the whole concept of being a missionary. And so you'll see that as we go through the notes. But in any event, I just wanted to give credit to what credit was due. This is his method. We just adapted it to see how it would work with this whole concept of being a missionary. Your pastor's all too familiar with it, and so is Cindy. Not because she's older, but because she's just sharp. Amen. But once again, it's a message that was adapted from Henry Blackaby's paradigm. Now, Henry Blackaby's paradigm was basically this. The first point of his paradigm was this. The Lord is always at work around you. Always at work around you concerning the work of evangelism. Amen. The next point, you see the second bullet, the Lord pursues a love relationship with us that is very real and that is very personal. That's why he wants to save us. Amen. Or your neighbor, who whatever. The Lord invites us, because he loves us, to join him in his work. The next point in that whole paradigm is this. The Lord speaks to you by his Spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstances and his church to reveal your mission field to you, wherever he wants you to serve in reference to doing the missionary work. To reveal to you his purposes, his ways, and his plan, specifically in your life. The Lord's invitation for you to join him in his mission field or in his work will require a crisis of belief that will require faith and action for you to follow him. In other words, it's not going to be easy. The Lord will require you to make major adjustments in his life to be the missionary that he would have you to be in your mission field. We'll break all this down. Some of you probably wonder, where is he going? Well, hang in there. I'll take you there. And the last point is this. The Lord will enable you to know him by experience when you obey him and he fulfills his great commission through you. And that's the key point. God wants to fulfill the great commission through you. There's no way we can do it on our own. And if you do, try. You're gonna be doing it in the flesh. And you know what? It won't account for nothing on Judgment Day. God wants us to he wants to complete his great commission through us. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, that really speaks to this whole concept of our being, the anxiety of our trying to do this great work on our own. The anxiety, the fear, the apprehension, the excuses. Lord, I just can't do it. Lord, I know, Tony. I don't expect you to. Lord, I have no idea how to even start. I don't know what to say. Tony, I know. And I want to fill you with my words. I want you to be able to recognize the people that I send in your path, where you work, where you live, even your own family members. I want you to be able to recognize when I'm trying to work in your life and move you in a specific place, in a specific time, to enable you to bear fruit of sharing, sowing seed. I'll give you the increase. And so as we look at this paradigm, this is a paradigm that I adapted. Once again, I preach this. This is the fourth part of a message that I preach. And it, you know, emphasizes that in the heading here. The method for missionary. This is the best method that any missionary can have. I believe that without a doubt. The seven realities of how the Lord can fulfill his great commission through you. Once again, our text is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh, though it is already at work in us. The greatest example of this is Jesus Christ and his humanity. And we'll touch on that in one of these points. But anyhow, here's where we begin, right from the beginning. The Lord is always at work around you. Look at Psalm chapter 74, verse 12. in your missionary and in your mission field. The Lord is always at work around you. What is the work in reference to what we're talking about here? God's work, his greatest work, is the work of evangelism. Amen. I mean, what do you think is more important to him than that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, you tell me a greater sacrifice than that. He loves us that much. He wants to save us. Amen. And salvation is not our work. It's God's work. Psalm 74:12 says that God is the God of old, working salvation in the midst of the world. It's his work. It's not our work. It's his work. We can't handle it. I mean, we're overwhelmed by it. And God wants us to be. Because he said, listen, I want you to get out of the way, Vic. I mean, excuse me, I didn't mean to mention you by name, but yes, I did. I want you to get out of the way, Vic. How much anxiety, man, have you experienced? Lord, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of the VBS. I don't want, Oh, be quiet. It's not about us. It's about him. God is the God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And what about these kids? I'm glad you asked. Suffer not the children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Man, if we, you know, I tell you what, folks don't get saved unless they have the faith of a child, by the way. Well, they just take God at his word. Amen. That's how you got saved. By faith, man, you just took God at his word. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you know, it clicked one day. You know, by nature, we don't run to God. We don't run to God. We don't seek God. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 14, Psalms, I believe, is 50, somewhere where it says, listen, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's none that seeketh after God. By nature, we run from God. We don't want God to rule and reign over us by nature because we're born with the wrong nature to begin with. We want to be our own God, don't we, Vic? I mean, Cindy. I don't mean Cindy. Dave, no, not Dave. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Were you like me? Before I got saved, I'm running from God big time, man. Looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong things. Love for basketball. Vic, you think I'm picking on you? God knows, I'm too embarrassed to mention some of the things that I was looking for love in. But I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't seeking him. He was seeking me because he was trying to save. No man comes to God unless he draws by his spirit. So the first point of that paradigm is God is always at work. Even not only in God of old and, you know, in the ancient days, but even today. God is always at work around you. In the midst of the earth, working salvation. And he wants us to be a part of that. Right where he's planted you. There's no accident relative to where you work, where you eat, where you sleep, where you play, where you live. Even at the rec center. In the midst of all them little snotty-nosed little kids, you're trying to teach them how to read, and they're coughing on you, and they're talking bad about you. And Lord, I don't want to have nothing to do with these little knuckleheads. I'm too old for this. Every now and then he reminds me. I start talking to the kids about the Lord, and I can't shut them up. Well, Lord, I think you can call me to a better place, a more prominent and more popular and more. What's wrong with where you are? Well, Lord, I used to be a pastor, but next door to the church where I'm working. I put you around children for a reason, Tony. You grew up like a lot of these kids. No father, mother gone. You believe that God's speaking to me right now? God is always at work around us. God is the God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. The second point is that, somebody tell me, what's the second point? God pursues a loving relationship with us that is real and that is, that's why he wants to save us, it's real and personal. That's why he's pursuing folks. We talked about that. Did I give you a text there? What is John chapter? We talked about that in John chapter 17, verse. Well, let's just kind of read through that again. Just that by way of reminder, we ought not to forget this. Amen. But John chapter 17. Are you with me, folks? Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in them, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and they thou in me, that they may be one and be perfect in one, that the world may know that I that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as I, thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. God pursues a continuing love relationship with the lost that is real and very personal. Relationship we had made reference to this morning, that ultimate intimate relationship. The epitome of all other relationships, the one experienced by the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, the essence of salvation, the reason why he wants to save, the reason why he pursues us, is so that we can experience that relationship. God pursues a continuing love relationship with the lost that is very real and that is personal. A relationship that's going to last throughout all eternity. God's love constrains him, motivates him, to enable us to experience, embrace, and express that love. The third point, the Lord invites you and me to join him in his work right in your mission field. Wherever you work, live, pray, sleep, I mean, whatever you, in your walk of life. The Lord invites you to join him in his work in your mission field so that he can do his work through you, just like he did Christ in his humanity. Look at 2 Corinthians verses 5, 18 through 20. Cindy, you remember this paradigm, don't you? Amen. You see how it relates to this whole concept of evangelism? What I say in 2 Corinthians chapter, thank you, sister. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. There's that abiding relationship. reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry and the word of reconciliation. I mean, he's given us the opportunity to help man and God come back together again. Now, ye are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Here's your exchanged life again. For God hath not given to him, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. His humanity. Jesus said, listen, the works that I do, the things that I say, it's not me, it's the Father. Father is living his life through me. The Father is a God of old. He's working salvation in the midst of the earth. And he's doing it through me. God the Father. Jesus is our perfect example. He said, greater works shall we do because he's gone to the Father. Now, God wants to use all of his children, his body, the believers, to work in us and through us like he did Christ, to draw others to Christ in our mission field. This is home base for us, for you guys. You know, I might come often enough where I might have to change my membership and come over here. Pastor Pesky, I didn't mean that. Although, this place reminds me of home a lot. First Bible Baptist Church in Lancaster. You understand the point I'm trying to make? God is always at work around us. His greatest work is the work of salvation. He's the God of all, working salvation in the midst of the earth. In spite of the fact that men by nature, we run from God, but God pursues us and draws us with bands and cords of loving kindness. Unless he does, we'll never come. That's why when God pursues somebody, man, encourage them not to continue to run, because sometimes we can run too long and too far to where God will stop pursuing. That's another message. The Lord pursues that relationship, a loving relationship with us that is real and personal. The Lord invites us to join him in his work in our mission field. How does he do that? I'm glad you asked. The Lord speaks to you by his Spirit, through his word, through prayer, through circumstances, and his church. It's important to really understand that God speaks to us in these last days by his Spirit. You know, if we had time, we'd go over to the book of Hebrews. It said in sundry times and in various ways, God spoke to us in dreams and, you know, and those sort of things. But now he speaks to us by Jesus Christ, and Jesus speaks to us by his Spirit. He speaks to us by his Spirit through the word. 2 Peter, you change that reference. 2 Peter 1, if you're that was a test for you. If you're going to study these notes, 2 Peter 1. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was such a voice to him from heaven. There came such a voice from the heavens and the exit glory, where it said, this is my beloved Son whom I well please. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Here's a point. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here's the point. Most of us know the scene, what's going on here. You have Matthew, James, Peter. Now, Peter, James, and John, right? They're on the Holy Mount. Jesus is transfigured before them. And in the midst of his transfiguration, and then when they saw Jesus in all of his glory, God spoke to the disciples that were there. Peter goes on to say, listen, as much as we appreciate God speaking from heaven, we have a more sure word of prophecy of God speaking now. And that's the word of God, the written word of God. Now, God speaks to us. How does he speak to us? By the author of the book. He speaks to us by his spirit. Through the word of God. That's why, you know, we talked last time I was here about not minimizing the importance of the word of God. God speaks to us by his spirit through the word of God. And not only does he speak to us by his spirit through the word of God, but he speaks to us by his spirit through our prayer life. Romans 8, 20, 26 to 28. And I'll just quote that portion of scripture where it talks about we don't know how to pray the way we ought to pray sometimes. But God's prays, the Spirit of God intercedes for us. He prays for us. Not only does he pray according to God's will for us, but if we listen to him very carefully, the Holy Spirit will tell us what to pray for. Regarding where God wants us to serve, what God wants us to do. He actually will speak to us, maybe even subconsciously without us knowing it. He tells us what to pray for. He allows us to know the things that God has prepared for us, especially regarding this whole concept of fulfilling the Great Commission. You know, God doesn't leave it to us to do anything. Because without him, we can do nothing. He speaks to us by his spirit, through the word of God, through our prayer life. Oftentimes, you know, we might be praying something, might think, well, you know, this came from me. No, it came from the spirit. God is sovereign. He'll tell us what to pray for. He'll teach us how to pray. Consciously and unconsciously. Did I say that right? He speaks to us by his spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstances in our life. God is a God that opens and closes doors of opportunities. You see in your notes, I believe a reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. God opens effectual doors for us to go through. Whether it's on the foreign field or whether it's at home, in reference to how he wants us to minister, who he wants us to minister to. According to Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 3:8, he opens the doors that no man can close and no man can open. He opens doors of opportunities. Are you with me, sister? He also speaks to us by his spirit. Through the church, through his people, through preachers, through teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, those who are walking close to God, who don't have titles. Irony of it is sometimes he speaks to you through a backslider. But God speaks by his spirit through the word primarily, through your prayer life as you pray. And he prays for you and prompts you in reference to what to pray for. Tony, God wants you to have this. He's already got it prepared for you. Ask for it. Ask him to teach you how to pray. Tell you what to pray for. Especially regarding your life as a missionary. He speaks through circumstances in our lives. And boy, we could go all day with that whole perspective. Circumstances in our life. Good circumstances, bad circumstances. Amen. He's sovereign. He speaks through them. And he speaks to us through the church, his people. In reference to enabling us to know exactly where to go, what to do, what to say. Let me hear it. Y'all folks are getting tired. It's been a long day, and I understand that. Okay. The Lord's invitation for us to join him in his in our his mission field will lead you to a crisis of belief that will require faith in action. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe I'm getting tired too. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present for the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he had done, whether it's good or bad. Here's the point. The Lord's work of evangelism, his mission work, will require you to make, join him in mission field will lead to a crisis of belief that will require faith in action. It's not easy to follow the Lord. Lord, I know who you want me to speak to. Lord, I know where you want me to labor. God, I know what you want me to do, but God, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God says, listen, we need to just walk by faith, knowing that God is at work in our lives, primarily to help us to complete the Great Commission. But you got to walk by faith. Paul understood that. He said, I'm ready for my departure. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Well, what made Paul such a great missionary? He walked by faith. He was constrained by the love of God. The love of Christ constraineth me. He said, constraineth us to be the missionaries that God would have us to be. Walking by faith. And I tell you, the crisis there is this. If you're going to walk in the flesh, you're not going to do it. You can't. You have no desire. Because the arm of flesh will fail you. The flesh, the arm of flesh will promote, will encourage you to think about yourself as opposed to others. We might as well say, and I say this in love, folks, that I'm as guilty as anybody else. I would rather see somebody go to hell to encourage them to get saved. Did I say that? That's a strong statement. Do I really believe? Gee. Do I really want to see folks get saved? I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about you. If I'm in the flesh, man, I really don't care. Just care about me. I don't want to have to face a crisis of belief. You know, one of the reasons why I was reluctant to talk about you know, God's prosperity doctrine, because I didn't want anybody to believe that what I was talking about was pie in the sky Christianity. But man, if we're going to follow Christ, man, we're going to have to face a crisis of belief, because it's going the opposite way altogether. And that really leads to the next point. Victor, what do I have for the next point? Can I borrow your notes? I'm getting tired of walking up those stairs. The Lord's work, missionary work, will require you to make major adjustments in your life. I took this from your husband. You've probably seen that. You know, you haven't noticed it yet? That discipleship material that he wrote for First Bible years ago? Now you see it, don't you? The Lord's work will require you to make major adjustments in your life to obey the Great Commission. In other words, you got to be willing to follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Just follow me. Well, what is it going to take for you to follow Jesus? It will require you to make major adjustments. That's your major adjustment. Be willing to follow. Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. Footprints of Jesus. You got it. It takes desire. According to Jesus, Luke 29:9-23. If any man, it takes a decision, will come after me or will follow me. It takes a denying self. Let him deny himself. It takes dedication to take up his cross daily. And determination and follow me. The Lord's work will require you to make major adjustments in your life to obey the Great Commission. The major adjustment is to, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I'll follow you. Last point. The Lord will enable you to know him by experience, to experience God in this abiding relationship with him. When you obey him, and he fulfills his great commission through you. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we are able to ask or think, pray or say. When we obey him and we allow him to fulfill his great commission through us. It's not about us. Lord just gave me a thought, and I should have mentioned it when he gave it to me. Lord, bring it back if you want me to. And I'll close with that thought. Greater works shall we do that go to the Father. As we obey him and allow him to complete his great commission through us. God is always at work around us in our mission field. He's a God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. God pursues a continuing love relationship with mankind that is very real and that is very personal. A love relationship enabling us to experience the same love that they have, the Father has for the Son and the Spirit. Because he loves us, God invites us to join him in this great work of evangelism, doing this missionary work. God speaks to us by his Spirit. Through the word, through our prayer life, through circumstances in our life, good ones, bad ones, however we picture them, and through the church to reveal his work, his purposes, his ways, his will. Just a quick bunny trail. I remember once that I was asking God, I said, you know, God, should I take out this loan and get into debt or not? And I'm just begging God and trusting the Lord with all your heart, man. He'll lead you and guide you, direct you. And one day I'm in church and I'm in the vestibule in the old church. This is decades ago. And I'm walking out of church and one of the brethren was coming this way and I was going that way. And he just tapped me on the shoulder and he said, stay out of debt, Tony. And as soon as he said that, I know that God spoke to me through this. But he never knew it. I never told him. And I didn't listen. I got in debt. Vic wouldn't have. Tight anyhow. But anyhow, I need to apologize for that. Because this brother would give the shirt off his back. I know by experience. I remember when my wife was sick and the way you encouraged the church to support me and my wife. You don't know how God used you. You spearheaded that. Rick the same way. Rich. But God, you see that he does speak. Primarily through the word. Through your prayer. That's why you need to stay in prayer. Through circumstances in your life. You say, well, this is a bad thing. Well, God is at work in the midst of that thing. He's trying to tell you something. As it relates to even you know, where you ought to work, what you ought to do, what you ought to say, how you ought to say it. Look for where God is at work around you. I mean, listen to what people are saying. When you can tell when people are interested in God when they start talking about God. I mean, put your ear out there. What are they saying? They start asking you to pray for them. God's at work. Otherwise, people are not really talking about God. They're running from him. He speaks to each us, the church, our leaders, and not just the leaders. Lord knows if you just trust in a leader, man, you might wind up in a June Jones, what's his name, situation. Not that's going to happen here. But my goodness, a leader ought to be pointing us to Jesus anyhow. That's not what he was doing. If we're gonna follow God in this mission field work, we're going to be faced with a crisis of belief. We're going to have to make a choice between walking by faith or walking in the flesh. You have to die to self. We have to make major judgments and adjustments in our life if we're going to follow him in this mission field work. It's evangelism and completing a great commission. We're going to have to make up our mind. I decided to follow Jesus. He says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. But it's not going to be easy. Because you got to pick up your cross. You got to die to self. We come to know God by experience. When we allow God, when we obey him and allow him to do his work through us, just like Jesus did. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think through the Spirit that is already at work in our lives. I don't know if I'm supporting. I told the young man, Jason, I was going to support his message on mission. He talked about missions and that sort of thing last week, I believe, or soul winning or the Great Commission or something. Well, amen. Somewhere I'm continuing that. But I just want to leave you folks with that. I love you tremendously. I just want to pray over you. And I'm hit the road, and y'all pray for me that I get wind up safely and don't fall asleep behind the wheel. Father, what a blessing it has been to be here with these fine folks throughout the course of this day. In your providence, dear Lord, you allow me, dear God, to teach, to preach, to remind. And God, I just pray, dear Father, please, that your word, Lord, would not come back void. You promised that it wouldn't. I pray that, Lord, that the word would not fall by the wayside heart, where the devil will come and snatch it away. Lord, that your word would not fall on stony ground, a stony ground heart, where people get all excited and I'm ready to go. And when the cares and the riches of the world comes in and chokes the word, or by the thorny ground, the thorny heart, where people believe for a time, but Lord, in a good heart, that it might bear fruit. God, you've commanded us to fulfill the Great Commission, but you don't expect us to even try doing it on our own. You want to do it through us, through this abiding relationship with you. I'd like to close with this song as we leave. I kind of butchered the song because I didn't understand all the words were a little bit different. We're going to try to sing this through. They're going to put it on the screen.